work at peace with everyone. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone. That means that it doesn't just come naturally, that we have to work hard at not getting in conflict.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio, straightforward teaching about things that matter. I'm your host, Joshua Hollick, here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and we are in a series titled Facing Your Feelings, and it's what God's Word has to say about dealing with the things on the inside and how what's on the inside affects what's on the outside. Pastor Mark, this message, you've titled it Fighting Discouragement, and you've taken us to the book of Nehemiah to look at a man who really changed the world, changed his entire nation, but he had to deal with this issue head on.
He had to deal with strong opposition that led to discouragement. And so in this message, I'm going to look at four strategic steps to fight discouragement. Discouragement is something that when it gets a hold of you, it will sap your energy, it will skew your perspective, and it will belittle or dwindle your faith. And so there are people right now, Joshua, that are in the grip of discouragement right now, that are so discouraged that they're starting to doubt what they believe. And you need to listen to this message or call someone up and say, hey, turn on the radio, because you're going to hear a four strategic steps to fight discouragement.
That's good. In fact, let's just take a second now and pray for that person who may be finding themselves greatly discouraged.
Yes, Father, I pray for that woman that's stuck in that marriage, and she's fought for so long, but now she's just lost the will to fight. God, encourage her. I pray for that man, Father, that's struggling with cancer, and he's battled one more bout of chemotherapy, and he just wants to give up, Father. Give him the energy to continue forward. I pray for that parent that's dealing with that prodigal son that keeps making bad decision after bad decision, and they're just so bleak, Father. Give them encouragement. Lord, I pray that as a result of your word, your Holy Spirit would lift up some spirits here, and God, bring us out of the fog of discouragement into the light of faith and hope, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. This is Fighting Discouragement, Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 23.
You know, everyone at one time or another experienced hurt. Maybe today someone hurt you. Maybe walking in this building, you've already been hurt because someone didn't say hi to you or said hi to you in the wrong way or didn't sit by you or moved over when you sat down. Who knows? Life is full of inevitable hurts. All of us get hurt sometime or another. And I was thinking a little bit about this topic of hurt, the feeling of hurt. And I was remembering my childhood and the fact that I was prone to injury when I was young. In fact, I broke my arm twice, fell off a tree and then off of a bridge. I broke this hand, several bones in my left hand, playing American football. I broke my finger playing volleyball. I had stitches in my head in a rough game where a lamp fell and bust on my head. I had a stick go through the side of my ear, almost pierced my eardrum. And so you did not want to be my parent, really. And I attribute that to little fear, high risk, and not being so smart in the head when you're that young. But I remember one time, the time that I remember that was the most traumatic for me was I was probably about 7 or 8 years old, and I was climbing up a tree. I was about 12 feet up into a tree, and the branch broke, and I fell down, and my arm hit on a stump that was popping out of the ground, and I literally cracked both bones that were here, so my arm kind of went like this when I held it. And I remember the feeling of a broken arm and looking at my arm and saying, something is wrong with my arm. My friend came over and wanted to touch it. I said, don't touch it. And I remember walking home the entire way looking at my arm that was kind of drooping like this, and my mother went to touch it. I said, don't touch it. And when we went to the doctor came in and said, yeah, it's surely broken. Here, give it to me. I said, don't touch it. Because when you're in pain, you don't want anybody to touch your pain, because when you're in pain and someone touches where you hurt, it creates more pain. How about it? So the doctor put my arm in a cast, and back in those days, they would actually use the plaster cast, and he put it in a cast, and it was only about 3 weeks later, maybe 2 weeks later, that I was on a bike with another one of my friends, and we were going fishing at a stream down the road, and he actually got off balance and drove his bike off a bridge, and we fell about 12 to 15 feet down, and I re-broke my arm. He broke his leg, cracked his tooth, broke the bike, and I remember walking back home. The neighbor lady came out and said, what's wrong? We fell in sewer, so we were just dirty from head to toe with a broken arm, walking through the town with my arm broken like that. And I remember the lady coming to say, are you okay, coming to tell me? I said, don't touch it. And as I was walking through the street, a man came, are you okay? Yeah, no, don't touch it. And when I got home again, my mom went to say, hey, what happened to you again? I said, don't touch it. Because what happens is when you've experienced pain, we all do the same thing. And you may have heard this phrase before, but let me repeat it. People that are hurt, what we do with hurt is that we nurse it. Don't touch my pain, because if you touch it, it's going to be more painful. We rehearse it. We have to tell people the story, or we tell ourselves the story over and over and over how we got hurt. How about it? Well, I fell off the bridge and this is what happened, and we replay it over and over. And then we disperse it. We let a lot of other people know about the pain as well. And our emotional pain is the same oftentimes as the way we deal with physical pain. We nurse it. Don't touch it. We rehearse it, we remember what happened over and over, and we disperse it. Other people find out what happened to us because it eventually comes out. And here's what I know about hurt, and here's what I know about pain. I know that unless you deal with your hurts, your undealt hurts will end up dealing with you. Someone once said that life is 10% of what happens to you, but 90% of how you respond to it. So I know that everybody in this auditorium has been hurt physically, emotionally, spiritually, in one way or another. You cannot live life without hurt. There is pain, period. And my message is not about this today, but I feel like I need to at least throw something about this in there, because I get this question asked so much, so many times. People ask me often, well, if God exists, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? If God is good and he's sovereign, why does he let bad things happen to good people in this world? How many of you have been asked that question before? How many of you have asked that question before? And so here's my simple response, and I wish I had time to go into a strong teaching on this, but let me just say this. Let's imagine that God did not allow pain in the world. Let's imagine that every time evil was about to happen, that God would stop it. Let's imagine that when your kid acted up and you're about to cuss him out and say, you little bup, your mouth would stop and suddenly you're mute. Or that someone that was raised their hand to hit someone would paralyze. Or that someone was about to do prejudice, they would not be able to do it. Let's imagine that God would stop every act of evil, every act of aggression in this world. Pretty soon, God would be stopping your thoughts. God would be stopping your words. God would be stopping your actions. God would be hindering and stopping your ability to make choices. God created us as free will beings. That means that we have the ability to choose whether we love or don't love, whether we do good or evil. God has given us the ability to make choices. If God took away our ability to make choices, we would no longer have free will. And if God's ultimate goal in relationship with us is that we would choose to love him and serve him with all of our heart. You cannot have someone that chooses to love or reject love without giving people free will. You cannot have a world that is devoid of evil if you have a world where people have to choose. If not, God would create robots. Are you tracking with me? If God made you robotic and I love you, God, I do whatever you want, then you would have no evil in the world. God has given us the ability to choose. And as long as you want the ability to choose, then there will be evil in the world. God has created a world where we have the ability to choose, and God does not stop the evil at this point in time. A day will come when it will cease. A day will come when justice will be brought about. But for now, we live in a fallen world in which people can choose good and people can choose bad. But God has created that environment because God wants you to choose out of your own heart to be able to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I'm glad God has given us that choice. Amen? Amen. But in the meantime, we live in a world where evil will happen, where people will make bad choices. And so I want to turn your attention to Hebrews chapter 12, because the writer of the Hebrews is talking to us about, this entire chapter is about running the race. He starts the chapter by saying, hey, you have a cloud of witnesses, run the race, don't get entangled, finish the race that God has put before you. And then he begins to talk about discipline and pain in our lives and discouragement and what happens when we have pain that comes to our life and what happens when the discipline of God comes to our life, when bad things happen to us in this world. And I'm just taking a couple of verses, found verse 12 through 15 of Hebrews chapter 12, to talk to you, to break this down, because I believe in these passages we have some powerful truths that tell us what to do when you experience hurt. I'm going to read beginning in verse 12. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. Word of the Lord.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Fighting Discouragement, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Facing Your Feelings. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, verses 1 through 23. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Fighting Discouragement.
I have four choices that I'm asking you to make if you're not going to allow hurt to become a hindrance. I know that in any auditorium or any gathering that we have, that everybody in that gathering has been hurt some way at some time in their life by someone that's close to them. Hurt is an inevitable part of life. It's going to happen to everyone. So it's not a matter of how do we keep people from being hurt, but the question is, what do I do when hurt happens to my life? God is not the author of all of our pain, but I believe that God is the redeemer of all of our pain. And so there's four choices that you have when you've been hurt. And I want to ask you to think about these four choices, because these choices can make the difference between you becoming disabled by your hurt or actually healing over the hurt in your life. Number one, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Choose healing over disability. The writer of the Hebrews says, therefore, strengthen the feeble arms and the weak knees, make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. The writer of the Hebrews says, when you're weak, when you're tired, when you've been injured, your injury can either lead you to become ultimately disabled, or your injury can lead you ultimately to healing. But it's really your choice whether you allow your injury to disable you or whether you allow healing to come into your life. We've seen that over and over. A few years ago, my son, who is now 17, decided that he wanted his freshman year of high school, he decided that he wanted to play football. He had a toss-up. He was trying to figure out between football or band, playing the saxophone or tackling people on a field. He decided to do both. He was really busy that semester. But his freshman year of football, he went out, got geared up, went out to all the practices. My wife, Dee, and I went to all of his games, cheered him on from the sidelines. Yay, go get him. Like every crazy parent out there screaming and hollering from the sidelines. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went to every one of his games. It just so happened that towards the final part of the season, I had a speaking engagement that conflicted with his game. So it was the game that I couldn't go to. My wife and I drove downtown. I was about to go into a speaking engagement, and I get a phone call from one of the physical therapists that works at the school, and he said, "Mr. Job?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I don't want you to be worried." How many of you know when someone says, "I don't want you to be worried," it worries you already? Like, don't tell me not to worry, because now I'm worried. He said, "But your son has been injured." I'm like, oh. My wife heard it on the phone, and she was, "That's it, let's go, I can't believe we weren't there." And he went on to say that my son had been injured. And so when we went back to the house and found my son, he had been injured. And here's what had happened. He had torn what they call his ACL in his knee. So some guy had tried to tackle him from the side, hit his leg. He tore his ACL, and it required surgery. So we had to go and have him a surgery in which they replace a portion, a strip on his knee so that his knee would be stable. But here's what the doctor said. The doctor said this. You need to do intense physical therapy to strengthen your knee. If you don't do this physical therapy, your knee could lose its ability to extend all the way, and it could impair you from playing any sports in the future. In other words, if you don't work at it, your injury can lead to disability. But if you work at it, your injury can experience full healing and not keep you back from the things that you want to do. Are you tracking with me? It's the same in our emotional and spiritual lives. When you get hurt, your injury in life can lead you to become an emotionally crippled individual. If you don't work on the healing of it, then some people, because they allow the injury in their life to cripple them emotionally, you struggle in your marriage, you struggle in your parenting, you struggle at work. You struggle with every relationship because you're an injured person that has not allowed healing to happen in your life. And so therefore, it has caused you to be disabled in your relationships rather than healed. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. He said the lame person who's injured right now, it can lead to him being disabled or it can lead to him being healed. It's the choice that we have to make. How does that happen? How do we experience healing? Well, if you're going to be healed, he says you need to do two things. Strengthen what is weak. Like the physical therapy, you have to work on that area of healing. You have to confront the injury and strengthen what is injured and not just ignore it. How many of you know that sometimes for healing to happen, pain has to occur for healing to happen? Physical therapy is painful. But unless you go through the physical therapy and confront the pain, it'll lead to disability. If you have a hurt in your heart, in your life, because you went through a nasty, difficult, challenging divorce that left you devastated in life and emotionally broken so that you can barely trust anybody around and you're really guarded, or you had a super highly dysfunctional relationship with your parents and a critical father that constantly demeans you and you're always trying to prove yourself, or you went through some sort of abuse that was sexual, emotional, physical, and it's affected you, left scars in your life, deep hurt in your life, and you've carried around, but you've never dealt with it. If you don't deal with the injury, if you don't go to the place of injury, then chances are you've allowed that injury to begin to form some sort of disability within your life that God wants to deal with. Not only does he say, strengthen what is weak, he says, make level paths of your feet. He's quoting out of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26, the Old Testament, that says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. I believe what C.S. Lewis said. C.S. Lewis, writing about the problem of pain, says we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So what I want you to, the first choice I want you to understand that you have is that you can choose whether you allow your injury to become a disability or whether you allow a path to healing in your life. So choose healing over disability. Number two, choose peace over conflict. Notice what it says in verse 14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Work hard at living at peace with everyone. Here's what I know, that you, when you have been hurt, emotionally hurt, when there's an injury inside of your heart, it's that people that are hurt want to hurt back. How about it? Watch it in a playground. 12-year-old boys are wrestling around, laughing, pushing each other. And then one accidentally hits a guy in the nose, and the boy pauses a second, looks at his nose, feels a little blood, and what's the natural response? Now I'm going to make you hurt, and they go at him. Because hurt people hurt people. Our natural response that when we're hurt is we want to hurt back. The natural response of if I have an injury, I want to make sure that whoever injured me also gets injured. And I've seen that over and over. Even in this congregation, as people walk in these doors that are deeply injured in their soul and their spirit, and as you try to get close to these people and try to love them in God and try to really get close in relationship, inevitably they will also be hurt, especially if they have an injury that they have not dealt with. I remember not too long ago, there was a guy that came into the building. And one of the brothers, I hadn't seen him in a little while, and I gave him a hug. I said, how you doing, brother? He said, don't. I said, oh, what's wrong? He said, I just had shoulder surgery. You see, I didn't know he had a shoulder surgery. He's trying to say that five times real fast. I didn't know that, so I just gave him a hug. I wasn't trying to hurt him. I was trying to embrace him. I was trying to welcome him. But because he had an injury that wasn't healed, even my embrace caused him hurt. Are you tracking with me? So many people that are injured come into a community of faith like this. And as long as you keep people at a distance, as long as no one really knows your stuff, as long as you don't love people, as long as you don't open up, as long as you're not involved with people, then you're okay. But the moment you let people into your circle, the moment people get close enough, relationships end up hurting each other. People in relationships hurt each other whether they want to or not. And often if you are injured and have not dealt with your injury, you will find yourself at odds or in conflict with a lot of people around you because people will constantly be hurting that part of you that's already injured. And the writer of the Hebrews says, work at peace. Work hard for peace with everyone. Make every effort to live at peace with everyone. That means that it doesn't just come naturally, that we have to work hard at not getting in conflict. And to be holy, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. You see, what I'm convinced of is that when you have undealt with injury in your life, that undealt with injury becomes the interpreter by which you interpret the world around you.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Facing Your Feelings, and tonight was the first half of his message called Fighting Discouragement. Join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find other helpful tools to help you in your walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, just contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's book called Unstuck is also available for just $10 plus shipping. If you're looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations in and around Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would love to meet you. Well, that's it for Pastor Mark and our Straight Talk team tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please have a great night and join us again tomorrow. God bless.